Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. We'll read all three verses in unison together. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Again, let's read these in unison together. Ready? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for your presence being in here most of all. And Father, we need you. Just as we sang, we need you most right now. Though this morning was great, and just hundreds and over 1,000 people here, and Lord, your presence was here, this morning's blessings are past, and we need you again. We stand before you needy. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you to the Statler brothers for that song. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Here the Bible talks about what man may think is precious. Tonight my sermon is called Precious Things. The other day, my wife and I were watching our grandchildren. Our grandson, who is not, he's just a little over a year old, he's not talking yet. He was trying to use a broom, but he was very intense about it. Now, it was about 3.5 foot longer than him. He was in the kitchen. He was near the kitchen counter. Now, near the edge of the counter, there were some canned goods and things stacked up where we had been to the grocery store and hadn't put everything away. He's over there working at using that broom, and the top end of the thing was just a swinging everywhere. Well, with the reckless end of that broomstick hit those canned goods and started a avalanche of things off the counter. I'd never heard him use more than one word at a time. He dropped the broom. He looked at everything that had hit the floor, turned around at me, put his hands on his hips, and said, "Oh, no." And immediately my thought was, how precious. How precious. Now, I want you to understand something. There are things that are to you and I very precious. Now, the world's opinion of what is precious is different than the things that are precious to God. The Bible says that here in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about some build their lives on things that are not necessarily precious to God. We tend to build our lives on that which we think is precious. God said, be careful now, don't build your life on the things like money, gold, jewelry, cars, big bank accounts. He said, now, you're going to build your life on something that's not precious. See, God's opinion of precious and man's opinion of precious is different. Precious to God means valuable or honored. It's very dear, costly. It's something that's splendid or rare, or it's excellent in value. And the Bible says our foundation should be built upon what God sees as precious. Our foundation, of course, you understand the word foundation. The foundation determines the stability of what we're building. What are we building? Well, we're building our lives. We're building our children. We're building our marriages. We're building our homes. We're building our church. And we've got to make sure that those things are built on those things that are precious, not in our sight, but those things that are precious in God's sight. Now, there are some things that the Bible says are precious to God. For instance, the blood of Jesus Christ is precious. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We sing the song, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow." Let me explain to you. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious. When we sing the songs about the blood of Christ, I think Jesus looks down. Like the day that I looked off at my grandson and I thought, how precious that behavior. When you and I sing the songs about the blood of Christ, Jesus looks down and says, oh, that's just so precious. Jesus himself is precious. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone with the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." It's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus is precious. His blood is precious. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious." The Bible tells us Jesus is precious. His blood is precious. You know, you and I, when we suffer the loss of a loved one, it's so hard for us. But can I tell you that the Bible teaches that when the saints pass on and the saints come to heaven, that is precious in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Saved ones coming home to heaven is precious to our Lord, and especially those that are martyred for the cause of Christ. Do I think that is a precious time? If God sees something as precious, so should we. Let's let what God considers valuable become what we build our lives on. Let it be what we build our philosophies on. Let it be what we build our marriages on. Let it be what we build our families on. Let it be what we build upon. God said, if you're going to build something, build it on a foundation that is precious. Don't get all sucked up into what the world considers precious. Did you know that God's thoughts of us are precious? The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 17, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Folks, let's build our lives on the foundation of precious things, but not what is precious to me, not what is precious to you, but what is precious to God. You know, I think sometimes people are unstable because they're building their life on unstable foundations. There is a stability when your foundation is strong. There is a stability in the Christian life. There is a stability in our emotions and our behaviors. But we have to be building the foundations of life on that which is precious to God. I looked at my grandson who said, "Oh, no." And I thought, how precious. There are some things when God looks down at us. There are certain things when we're believing them and we're behaving in a certain way. Our Heavenly Father, just like this grandfather looked at a grandson's behavior and thought how precious, there are some things that our church, there are some things that we as Christians can do. There are some behaviors that our Heavenly Father can look down and say, oh, how precious. Oh, how precious. And whatever is precious to God ought to be precious to us. Let me quickly tell you about some of these things that are precious to God. Do you know the Word of God is precious to God? Psalm 126, verse number 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." This in reference to the Bible. And so I make it very, very clear. I'm talking about the King James Bible. It is precious in its preservation, according to Psalm 12:7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It is precious in its inspiration, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It is precious in its purity. The Bible says in Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Folks, the Word of God, it is the foundation. It is the foundation of the church. It's the foundation of our homes. It ought to be the foundation of our life. Hey, even to the point, every man here that's building a business, let the Word of God be the precious, that precious foundation for your business, for your life, for your marriage, for rearing your children, for the church, for your ministry, for your thinking, for your entertainment. Hey, it's precious. God here tells us that it's precious, which lends us to believe there is some seed that's not precious. But the Bible tells us here that the Word of God is precious. I think God looks over the banister of heaven. He watches us like a mighty army carry those old King James Bibles. We get out of our cars, and Mom's got her Bible, and Dad's got his Bible, and little Junior's got his Bible, and little sister's got her Bible. Everybody's got a Bible in their hands walking into church, and God looks over the banister of heaven, and he says to the angel, "That's precious. That's precious. Look at that down there. That's precious." Not only is the Word of God precious, the souls of men being saved is precious to God. Psalm 49, verse number 8, the Bible says, "For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever." Here God says the redeeming of a soul being won to Christ, God said that's precious, which means this. Folks, let's always be careful during altar call time. Let's be very, very careful. Hey, at altar call time, it's not time to hit the back doors. It's time to watch what God's going to do. You say, see, what you have to understand is, you say, well, I want to hurry up and get to the restaurant on Sunday morning, and I want to get out of here. You better stop and realize something. Somebody down here at this altar getting born again, God's looking down from heaven and saying, look how precious that is. Hey, a McDonald's Big Mac is not precious compared to somebody's soul being saved at this altar. The altar calls are precious. Those churches that are doing away with altar calls have done away with something that is precious to God. You see, that's precious to God. Children's church and little boys and girls getting saved, that's precious to God. Your converts getting born again, that is precious to God. This means that our soul winning, teenage soul winning, that's precious to God. Thursday night soul winning, that's precious to God. Saturday bus calling and soul winning, it's precious to God. Hey, Tuesday ladies soul winning, that's precious to God. Our missions ministry, and we don't train missionaries just go around the world and plant vegetables. We teach them to go around and plant the precious Word of God so precious souls can be saved. And God looks down from heaven, sees those souls being saved. And like I did as a grandfather, looking at my grandson, said, oh, that is so precious. God looks down from heaven at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and watches people being saved. And he said, isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? The Bible says in Psalm 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hey, not only is the Word of God precious, not only are the souls saved by the Word of God precious, but God said the trials that we might face because of our faith in God are precious. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trials that you and I might face because of our faith in God, God said, that's precious. And I'm not necessarily talking about our self-inflicted trials here. I'm talking about when you and I do right for Jesus, when we do right by the Bible, when we do right according to the Word of God, and trials come upon us, affliction comes upon us in a world that does not love God, when we do right and you and I are getting tossed around by the world, God looks down and says, look, there's one of my children going through a tough time and they're going through it for me. And God's heart is warmed and he says, oh, that's so precious. That's so precious. When Peter was crucified upside down, which he was, that was precious to God. That was precious. When Stephen was stoned, a godly deacon, and when Stephen was stoned for his stand for Christ, that was precious to God. The scripture refers to our trials that are caused by our faith in God. And God says, when you go through difficulty and you're doing it for me, that's precious to me. When you take a stand with a family member and they mock you because of it, that is precious to God. When you say no to temptation at work and somebody at work gives you a hard time and mocks you and teases you, let me tell you something. Your heart might be heavy. You might go to the break room and shed a tear because somebody at work mocked you and teased you, but your Heavenly Father looks down from heaven. He sees that tear and he says, oh, that warms my heart. That's so precious that you would go through that. See, the Word of God is precious. The souls of men being saved are precious. The trials that you and I face because of our faith in God are precious. But not only that, the Bible teaches us that wisdom is precious. Wisdom is precious. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 15. When you read in Proverbs 3, there is a reference, and it uses the female gender in reference, and what is actually happening is God has personified wisdom. In other words, God has compared wisdom to a woman. Why? I have no idea. But let God be God. But God compares wisdom here to a female. Listen to what it says. Proverbs 3:15 says, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. And the text there is referring to this quality called wisdom. Earlier, I quoted the verse from Proverbs that says, wisdom is the principal thing. You say, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to see life through the eyes of God. See, you and I are not supposed to live our lives using our own reasoning, our own thoughts. We're to be even careful letting our feelings guide us. We're to see life the way that God sees it. And wisdom is God's perspective on things. Knowledge is precious. It is a part of wisdom, I believe. Proverbs 20:15 says, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. I think knowledge knowledge is the facts, and wisdom is the ability to put the facts into practice. And God says, you need to get wisdom. And wisdom is a very precious thing. Wouldn't it be something if you could borrow God's mind and God's eyes so you could see things the way God sees it and you could think the way God thinks? I've got good news for you. I hold in my hand the way God thinks. I hold in my hand the way God sees things. What is it? It's the precious Word of God. And God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. You and I, we're to have the wisdom of God. You get wisdom from God's Word. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know, we can get wisdom from other wise men. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Folks, I believe this. I believe when you and I set aside our own reasoning and to some degree our own thinking, our own education, whatever you want to call it, you set it aside and you say, I want to think the way God thinks. And when you and I start making decisions for our families the way God thinks, when we make decisions about our work the way God thinks, when we make decisions about rearing our children the way God thinks, when we make decisions about our church, about our lives, about every part of our life the way God thinks, when we see it the way God sees it, I think God nudges the angels in heaven and says, look at that fellow right down there. Look at the wisdom. Look at how he is seeing life and living life through my eyes. God says, isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? And remember, God said, be careful now. This world says it is gold that is precious. It is silver that is precious. Hey, the world comes along and says those jewels are precious and fame is precious. And he said, you better be careful building your life on a foundation of not precious things, because what God says is precious are the foundational things that will give you stability and success in your life. What's precious to God? Well, we know the Word of God is precious to God. We know souls being saved is precious to God. We know our trials that we face because of our faith in God is precious. We know that wisdom is precious, but not only that. Oh my, listen to me. God teaches us that a good name is precious. it's precious. A good name. What are we talking about? We're talking about, I'll use the term, your last name or your name or when people think of your name. What do they think of when they think of your name? Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment and the day of death than the day of one's birth. God, I'll call it our family name. Our family name and our names are to be good representatives or good reflections of what God is. Guard your name. Guard your name. You say, how do you do that? Make sure you pay your bills on time. Make sure you're honest. Make sure you treat people right. Young people, watch how you handle the family name. Now, nobody's going to get all the way through the Christian school without getting a demerit here and there. I don't think so. Have we ever had any? I wouldn't. I know that I going to the Christian school, we wouldn't have made her all the way through without demerits. But let me say, young people, guard your family name. Be careful with your family name. Let's be careful. The Bible says a good name is better than precious ointment. We should be careful with our name. Husbands should guard the family name for the sake of the wife and the children. Wives should guard the family name for the sake of the husband and the children. Children, guard the family name. Hey, make it an honor name. You say, well, Brother Owens, when I was growing up, our family name never has been very good. Well, it's time to change it then. Time to reestablish that name and now build it on the foundation of God and God's word and the winning of souls and the wisdom of God. Be careful with the family name. Did you know that we are also called Christian? That's the family name for God's children. This tends to, if we're not careful, we could give the family a bad name. But you and I be very careful that we don't give Christianity a bad name. But people in this area, they'll look at us, those of us that go to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we carry the name of our church. And let's be careful that we carry that name with dignity and respect. Let's be law-abiding citizens. Let's be good people. Let's be decent neighbors. Let's be loving people. Hey, let's be known as a church that helps the poor guy out. Let's be known as a church that loves people. And we want to be known as old-fashioned fundamentals, but let me tell you something. We ought to be kind and generous and good to people. And people shouldn't look at us. Hey, I don't want anybody to say, oh, that jerk goes out there at that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Well, I don't want people saying that about us. Let's protect the church name. Let's protect the family name of Christian and protect your name. I think God says, when he looks down from heaven and he sees that we are aware of the fact that we carry with our testimony, we carry the reputation of others. And when God sees it, when God sees you and God sees me doing right, so we're protecting everybody else, I think God looks down and says, that's so precious. It's so precious to see my children guarding the family name. It's so precious to see them behaving right for the sake of everybody involved. God said, that's precious. Not only is the word of God precious, not only are the souls of men precious, not only are our trials suffered for our faith in God precious, not only is wisdom precious, not only is a good name precious, but God says that unity in the New Testament church is precious. Unity. Psalm 133 verse 1 and 2 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment. There, God says it is a precious thing when God's people get along properly. Unity is a heavenly trait. God wants unity in our homes. God wants unity in our marriages. God wants unity in our church. God wants, and that's precious to God. I think when God looks down and sees a group of Christians working hard at getting along with each other and being good to each other and apologizing and accepting apologies and having courtesy and saying please and thank you and excuse me and may I help you and how are you today? And when he sees all that, God looks at God up in heaven and says, look at that. Isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? Now, you heard me say this if you were here on Wednesday night. We're not to be peaceful at any cost. We don't change doctrine to keep unity. We're not going to change our standards to keep unity. We're not going to change our stand for the old-time religion for the sake of unity. But I'll tell you what, when we have all of those things, we ought to have unity in our church. I don't want war. I want peace. I will go to war, but I want peace. And I want unity. And every once in a while, you got to go to war to get peace. But I say to you, God looks down when God's people are behaving properly toward one another, and he says, isn't that precious? That division in a church is caused by the devil. Unity in the church is caused by our obedience to the Holy Spirit of God and to the Word of God. And let's make sure that when God looks at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and I think this is the case, I think God looks down at our church and says, look at that church, that unity that's there. Is that not precious? Isn't it precious how the people get along? That's how it ought to be. But not only that, I believe that God's promises are precious. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:4, speaking of the promises of God, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Here it speaks of the precious promises of God. God is a promise keeper. God keeps his promises to us. When a man makes a promise, he may or may not keep it. But I'll tell you something. God keeps his promises 100%. Guess what, folks? It's precious to me to know that in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, he promised us he was coming again. Oh, what a precious promise. What a precious promise. His promise, hey, he promised us in John chapter 10, verse number 28. He promised us once he saved us, he would keep us saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. What a precious promise. Jesus is coming again. I can't lose my salvation. You know, he also promises in Hebrews 13:5. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful promise. It does not matter where we go. We cannot get away from the love of our God. What a precious promise. I have the promise he's coming again. I have the promise that he is going to keep me saved. I have the promise that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, are those precious promises. He promised to meet all of our needs. He said, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Guess what? God's going to meet my need. Now, I didn't say he's going to meet all your wants, but he said he could meet all of your need. Oh, thank God for that. What wonderful promises. And let me tell you something. I believe that those promises are precious to me and you, but wait a minute. I believe those promises are precious to God because they're a part of the precious seed. And I think when you and I claim those promises, I think God looks down from heaven. He sees that we have claimed those promises. And he says, oh, that's so precious to me. That's so precious. When we sincerely think about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and it comforts our hearts like he told it to in John 14, 1 through 3, and 1 Thessalonians, when we let that comfort us, I think God looks down and says, that is so precious to me when my children claim my promises. Just like when my grandson was wheeling that broom around and he knocked those cans off and he put his hands on his hips and he said, oh, no. And I said, that is so cute. That is so precious. I think God looks down from heaven at his children. And when we are involved in actively living these things that are precious, I think it warms the heart of God like a grandfather with his grandson. Not only that, and don't worry, we're getting close to the end of the story. You say, oh, Brother Owens, that's precious. I believe our faith in God is precious to God. Our faith in God. See, 1 Peter 1:1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Precious faith. I think God enjoys our faith in him, and I believe it's precious. I think when we step out and we obey the Scripture by faith, I think that is precious to God. I believe when we obey His Word by faith, that that is precious to God. I think that when Joshua put his faith in God and the battle of Jericho was fought, I think God in heaven, we looked at it and we thought, oh, that there was a battle of Jericho, and we see war stories and war heroes. I think God looked down and said, that faith right there is precious to me. I think when Noah built the ark by faith, it was precious to God. Can you imagine all those years after year after year after year after year after year? Noah, by faith, kept building a boat. It had never rained before, and I'll promise you, every day that Noah woke up and went to work on that ark, God looked over the banister of heaven and he said, isn't that sweet? He still trusts me. He's still building, and by faith, he just kept going. I think that warmed God's heart, especially as the rest of the world mocked Noah and made fun of Noah. They had no faith in God. Hey, you got to stop and realize something. That faith in God, hey, that was the delight of God's day when he looked at mankind, the rest of mankind, and turned their back on God. But here's a man with faith. Hey, folks, can I tell you something? There's not very many people that have faith in God anymore. There's nobody stepping out and doing much for God. I think God could look down and say, look at that group of people. Look at their faith. Oh, that's so precious to me. I think David's faith expressed in fighting Goliath was precious to God. I believe Job's faith in God and God's goodness while he was suffering terribly, I believe that was precious to God. That faith, that confidence and assurance that God will do what is right and God will do what is best. And we can totally trust God. Hey, you can put your weight down on God. You don't have to second guess God if he told you to do it. I think God looks down and says, that's so precious. I think when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and expressed his faith toward God, God said, that is so precious. That warms my heart. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, God warned us. He said, be careful now. Be careful that you don't build your life on a foundation of what the world calls precious. That'll bring instability. That's not strength. Build your life on a foundation of truly precious things, like on Jesus and the blood of Jesus and the word of Jesus and the souls that Jesus wants to save. Faith in Jesus. Trials that we suffer because of our love for Jesus. The wisdom of Jesus, the name of Jesus, unity in the New Testament church of Jesus Christ. Because God said, that is truly precious. Folks, let's make it in our lives so that when our God looks down, sees you, sees me, that our God gets a thrill. Like I did as a grandfather. When my grandson said, oh no! And I thought, that is so sweet and so precious. May we be that kind of a delight to our Abba, our Papa, our Heavenly Father. Let's not disappoint Him. Let's build our life on precious things. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, may I say that your soul is precious to God. He sent His Son to die for you. If you're not saved, I wish you'd come to the Savior tonight. If you're not saved, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, our choir will begin to sing. In a moment, we'll stand. In a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform will leave the platform. They'll step off the platform and post themselves down front at the end of each aisle. The whole congregation will stand in a little while, and when they begin to sing, if you're not saved, if you'd leave your seat, walk down the aisle, walk up to one of these men and say, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Oh, that would be so precious to God. Your soul is precious. You say, how am I going to be saved? By the precious Word of God. You say, what's going to save me? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's all taken care of, you see. All you have to do is come and receive it and put the faith that you have, put precious faith into that Savior, into that Word of God, and you can be saved. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Brother Owens, that sounds so delightful to me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. That's what I want. I want to receive him. Pray for me, Brother Owens. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. On the lower floor, in the balcony, you say, that's me. I've seen a hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. I want to be born again. Pray for me, preacher. If you're here tonight, maybe you need to observe the precious things, the truly precious things of life. Let's give God that thrill of saying that right there is precious. If you need the altar,